Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat podcast. It's episode 163. Another red card gives Chelsea the blues. I'm Chris, and today I am joined by my brother Craig and our good friend Brady. Guys, it was a happy new year, and now not so much. How are you feeling?
Yeah, our third first half red card of the season, which equals the record, which is three. And yeah, we're going on to try and break it in the last 18 games, 17 games.
We've moved top to the disciplinary table with 62 points, five clear of the next five reds. So
nice.
Keep it moving.
Is it top of the disciplinary or is it bottom of the fair play? I can't remember.
Top of the league, mate.
Top of perception.
Top of the league.
Life's about perception, isn't it? You decide.
All right. Well, don't forget to like and subscribe to the pod and leave us some love wherever you're listening or watching on YouTube or your favourite podcast platform. We're going to get into it. Fulham versus Chelsea. Finished Fulham 2, Chelsea 1. 1.2 expected goals from Fulham, 2.3 for Chelsea. Stats-wise, 45% possession, 82% pass accuracy, 5 shots on target out of 14 for us. 3 saves out of 5 and a red card in a pear tree. Right. Let's do likes and dislikes. Craig, I'll come to you first. What have you got for me?
Likes would just be the way that we played with 10 men. I think for all that Maresca had gone through this season, all the criticism, the subs after going down to 10 men so early at Manchester United, being criticised so heavily for that. Here he comes in, Callum. He's got a good plan for 10 men, it turns out. We were actually really, really good in this game, considering it was an away Premier League game against a decent side. 11v10 for, Kukure got sent off, I think, 21st minute, so it's a long time to play with 10 men, and I thought we did really well, so it's more positive.
Brady?
My luck is really nothing to do with Chelsea. It's one win in nine in the Premier League, five reds, and we're still only 3 points off fourth. I mean, it is the idiot's league this year. I mean, you can call it competitive, but everyone's just losing. Every team starts something and then just starts losing, and I'm starting to realise that 63 points might get you fourth. It's just one of those years. So if we hang in there.
Pennies dropped.
Well, it's not the penny. It's just. It doesn't mean the league. I'm particularly thinking the league's good, personally. Like, we've got Bournemouth. Yeah, it's. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of teams where we shouldn't be in that. My opinion is we shouldn't be in those trenches that we're in, personally. We should be in the parapet above. Like, I like the league between 6th and 13th is competitive. We shouldn't be in that category. That's my beef. But anyway, that's for another thing. But that we've got Brentford at home, Palace away, West Ham at home, Wolves away, Leeds at home, Burnley at home. If, I mean, I know Rosini's got some tough Champions League games and, you know, the Arsenal with two legs. You couldn't really have asked for a better 6 league fixtures, to be honest, to get kicking. 18 points available. I'm looking for 12, 13, 15. We need to start kicking on now. There's no excuses now. Everyone's fit, basically, other than Colwell. We just got to get
Lavia. Let's you go.
We won't count Lavia.
Hologram. Lavia? Who's that? He's a cheerleader, isn't he? I mean, nice
yeah, super, did you know Romeo Lavia has never completed 90 minutes for Chelsea?
I did know that, yeah.
That's
an unbelievable stat.
I don't think he's completed above 80.
Goodness me. Yeah.
It went down in the 5th minute last time he was out.
Yeah, pulled his hammy in Carabag.
Reminds me of that Reece James at Everton away sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, like, Rossini is never going to get a better set of fixtures to get the ball rolling, and we need to get the ball rolling. We need to get above this parapet and get clear and maybe just try and catch Villa. I don't want to be caught in this mess between 5 and, 6th and 13th, because we're better than that, I think.
Yeah, my like was very similar to Craig's. I think the reaction from the reaction at the red card was abysmal, but the reaction after the red card, after half time, into second half, I think the changes. Again, I actually think Callum did really well with the changes. And I thought we looked loads better in the second half. A lot of belief in the team, which you wouldn't associate with the stuff we've seen from Maresca in the past, where he'd almost given up in some of the games. So, yeah, I was quite impressed with the second half. And I thought we were actually looking like we could have won it. But, you know, that's, you know, the 10 men obviously cost us in the end, and we were left short at the back and people making mistakes and stuff. But, yeah, I think overall, a decent effort in the second half, and players can be somewhat proud considering they got shafted by Cucurella early on. Dislikes, Craig, what have you got?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the fans. Obviously, not everyone agrees with everything that's going on at the club at the moment. Totally get the frustration. Obviously, we're on a bad run of form, which means that people are angry and obviously absolutely have the right to voice their opinions, and certainly the away fans are, you know, we used to go to a lot of away games, and it's certainly the hardcore of Chelsea. But what I would say is, like, I do think, like, the fuck off of Igbali chance is a bit strong for me when he sat there at the ground. It's very personal. I think, like, Chelsea's not just led by one man. Like, Igbali's not making, like, tons of decisions, I don't think, unless I'm mistaken, you know, at the top end. You know, the strategy goes through him and he's running it, but it's, for me, that's just beyond the line of football. It's just a bit personal. And, yeah, not a fan of that. I think the Clear Lake songs and, you know, the "We Don't Care About Clear Lake," you know, whatever that what song is, you know, that we used to sing about Rafa Benitez.
It's catchy.
But yeah, I remember going back to when Chelsea made some bad signings and Emanalo was in charge, and it became like a bit personal with him. You know, these guys are all part of massive leadership teams that make decisions. And, you know, obviously focusing on a specific person, I think, is, yeah, it's a bit much for me.
Well, the thing is, it was Bowley, but we've had, you know...
Bowley's only there for the good stuff. Bowley, when Club World Cup, he's there.
Last, at Fulham away last year, it was like, fuck off Bowley, and at Brentford away, I remember it was that as well.
Yeah.
So it's just the face of it. It's not personal against Bowley. He's at the game. If Bowley's at the game, it'd be Bowley.
Mm. I just think it becomes a bit personal when you focus on one person like that.
I think the fans are right to be agitated with what they're seeing. You know, you win the Club World Cup, you win the Conference League. That was sort of, well, the Conference League was kind of minimum expectations last season, and then they've turned up this season and they haven't really seen much improvement. If anything, it's gone backwards a little bit. And I think whenever you run a project, any project in any part of the world, in any business, it's all about progress and showing that you're improving things. And you know, Chelsea have spent a lot of money, yet starting at centre-back last night with two people out injured, one who was completely known about before the season started, and one who we know can't stay fit, is Tosin and Chalobah. And Chalobah, they tried to kick out of the club, and Tosin, you know, came for free. He was a bargain. And Chalobah was free as well, who they didn't really buy. So I think they're right to feel like they've sort of not been hoodwinked, but there's a lot of money that's been invested in the club, and it's the same people kind of letting us down in the same way. And I think that maybe people are expecting to see a little bit more from the money that's been spent.
I think it's not so easy, obviously, to sign,
obviously, as well.
Assign a centre-back. I know Liverpool were in the market for a centre-back this summer. Couldn't get that done either. Like, it's not so easy just to flick a switch and sign a centre-back. I know in, like, some people's ideas, you could just turn up and spend 100 million on Bastoni.
You were adamant in the summer.
Yeah, I wanted them to push a centre back. I can also understand when if they aren't able to get one. You know,
But I wasn't at the game. But it feels like the Clear Lake chant was probably 80% of it, and they did a few of the Igbali ones. Mm. But in the game, when I was listening to it, it sounded like the Clear Lake one, which the Clear Lake is the consortium. That's our owners. They're the majority shareholders.
Absolutely.
Like Clear Lake isn't a person. It's who owns us. They've got 61%, and it's Feliciano and Igbali.
So that's much less personal, though, isn't it? Like, going at the ownership.
Craig, I'm not being funny. Chelsea fans sing some pretty vile things to Liverpool fans, for instance. I'm not going to say on the pod, like, there's some Hillsborough stuff, and it's football.
I've never seen Craig get involved in any sort of chance.
I mean, do you know what I mean? It's gladiatorial. It's when you're in the Colosseum, what happens in the Colosseum sometimes stays in the Colosseum.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, like, there are it's between like, rival fans. There are obviously songs sing, but like he, Igbali's part of Chelsea.
Maybe it's a bit of a wake up call to them that the fans are not just here to, you know, we're not just here for the ride.
Maybe
Igbali
should open his mouth and spend money on a press statement. I mean, that would go a long way.
The communication is very, very poor.
Yeah.
That's
come from Thomas Tuchel. The club, even when Thomas Tuchel was in, Abramovich's ownership was up to him, every press conference to answer. And that's been the culture since. All you're asking for is a press conference and sporting director. They're doing like an interview with Si Phillips on like Substack. Who cares? Come out officially and talk to the fans. Like, you know, and don't have this like board where it's like Chelsea supporters, they're on the board. No one cares about that.
I don't think there's much incentive for them to do that. I don't think that would go down very well personally, but yeah.
I think that you need to unify the club with the fans and the ownership. You can't just have one thing running against the other and people, you know, it has to feel like it's
just
one.
Just an admission of, oh, it's not going very well on the pitch, we know, but we're working hard to make that better. I think that'll go a long way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not going great. We know it's not going great. It should be better. We're working on it.
Yeah, we swap the manager out and we're trying a new direct, you know, we're going to try something different.
Like, rather than like, you know, Rossini are facing questions or Callum McFarlane, you know, what was the media sniffing around Callum McFarlane for like Maresca clues? It's a joke. Like,
I agree the communication's not been great, but I can.
The songs are probably a consequence of that, right? Like, do you think the songs would happen if they come out?
I don't think that's helping to form a better relationship.
I mean, there's literally like, you know, he's walking out the back door or whatever. Well, as they would. He's just kind of with security guards, Igbali, not talking to fans, nothing like that. What are you expecting? Like, just,
would you chat to a set of fans that are just...
The guys are mean. Like, Rossini is celebrating and he's almost like copying, celebrating.
Anyway, I don't even want to make it about him because, like, it's so bad. It's so bad that he's been scapegoated so badly for this because, like, we're spending so much time talking about Igbali. He's probably not even involved in a day-to-day in terms of what even's going on.
It's like his passion project. He's really hands-on.
Yeah, he's actually quite involved.
Yeah, but he's not making any decisions. On his own,
yeah.
Bowley
was scapegoated originally,
yeah,
and he wasn't doing anything. He's really.
But I never heard a song about Bowley in the ground.
Bowley, I don't know about either of them. I don't know what they are, but Bowley seems through to where he's like, you're the sporting director. So I've took a step back. You get on with it. Like he's took a step back.
Well, I think he took a step back was to do with Igbali and him having a little bit of a fallout, I think.
He's in the dressing room. Like, I didn't like Cole Palmer being in the director's box. That was rubbish. I hated that. Like, you put your star player, like, sitting with the directors. I hate all that. Get him out of that. Like, it's stupid culture. Like, just people need to know their roles within the club. And it's just, yeah, I think it's their own mess. I don't feel sorry for them whatsoever. I think if the communication was better, you wouldn't get songs like that. As simple as that. Chelsea fans aren't vicious like that. That's the way I think.
What dislikes you got, Brady?
My dislikes is the red cards, basically. If I list the red cards this season, I'm going to do some expected points really quickly. So after 22 minutes, it was 0-0. So what do you think our expected points would be? I've come up with 1.5 in this game. For the Fulham game, at 0-0, what do you think our expected points are at 0-0?
What, with 11 men, sorry?
Yeah, 11 men, yeah.
I think we had 47% win probability yesterday, right?
I've got 1.5, 1.6, maybe.
It was 50%.
More than that, probably a little bit, right?
We were like even money to win.
So I expect the points is like nearer 2, right?
Yeah.
Right, so Arsenal, similar, 38 minutes, probably 1.5. That's already 3.5 points. Brighton, we're 1-0 up. So what would you... Well, that's probably well over 2 points. Forest away, we're already 3-0 up, so that's irrelevant. And the United away... So if Sanchez let him go through, it would have been 1-0, right? So you're 1-0 down at Old Trafford.
Mm.
So roughly, you're probably looking at about 7 to 8 points that these rest have cost us. I mean, that could be debatable.
I know, like, from a win probability point of view, a red card in the first half is the worst thing that can happen to a team. It knocks the win probability by like over 20%, which no other event can do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly, and you never know how variance is going to work out, but I think 7 to 10 points, maybe more like 7, is what it's cost us. So if we were on 31 points rather than 38, I mean, I'm not saying Maresca would still be here, but things would be better, obviously. And we'd be clear of Liverpool. And it's just, you know, and the names are getting sent off, like Sanchez, Chalobah, Caicedo, Gusto, Cucurella, all senior players, really. But if you talk about senior players in this team, they're all the most experienced, been here for two seasons or more.
I was surprised at Cucurella yesterday, for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be top of the seniors. There's clearly an indiscipline problem, probably from the Poch days. We were bad in Poch, and the three yellows was absolutely, it was so stupid.
Well, this was, you know, they talk about the leadership group at Chelsea. I mean, all three of them were booked. Enzo, Tosin, Palmer. Yeah. I mean, that says it all, really.
Even McFarlane got a yellow at the end. Yeah. Like, just got, just joined
I mean,
in.
If I was manager, I'd have got a yellow at that, yeah, at the end of that game with the ref.
The culture's rubbish. Like, Maresca was getting booked all the time as well. He's in the stands at Forest.
I don't know whether we've talked about this before. It's a bog standard red card. Like, you just get on with it.
So they weren't getting booked moaning about the red card. There was no communication with the ref about the checks, right? So they were waiting to see if what.
But it doesn't matter, does it? You just get on with the game.
Well, that's how some referees, I guess. No, it's not about playing. They were waiting for the communication from the referee about what had happened with the review, but he never gave it. And then they, you know, like I say, he ref the game like a school teacher yesterday, right?
Yeah, but
like,
sense the moment refs that ref like that.
And yeah, I don't blame McFarlane at the end.
What's your dislike, Chris?
I think my dislike, well, obviously the red cards in itself is a bit weird with people bringing people down. You know, last man, that seems to be a bit of a weird trend. I think that's pretty poor. I think the dislike for me is the way that we approach the game is there's still loads of, I don't know, this Maresca ball thing is very ingrained in our way of playing. Fulham at the beginning of the game were not at the races, really. They're quite passive. They were kind of allowing us to press us and they were giving the ball away like there was no tomorrow. But our game is still very passy around. You know, when they get the ball, they want to get it to the back and pass it out. It's far too slow. And I actually thought before the red card, we should have created more chances. And I was really disappointed that we didn't create much. In fact, the best chance was probably from the corner. I thought our corners were actually pretty excellent in the game. But open play is still
our
very,
our corners
very
overall
poor.
Look great this season.
Yeah, I think open play first half before the red card, I thought it just was awful. Like, I know people say, well, we had a lot of possession. Yeah, we're not doing anything with it. We're not quick enough on the ball, playing it through the lines, and we're too slow to get people up the pitch from midfield. And I thought the game was there for the taking in the first 15, 20 minutes. I thought we pressed them quite well. But yeah, just too slow. And I think from what Rossini is talking about, you know, in his comments that he's made before he's even started, I hope that's addressed in the way we play, and I hope he's picked up on it, because you can't play football passively like it's a training match, because, you know, when teams come and press you, like what we've seen, you just get run over. So that's got to change, and that needs to change before the Arsenal game. So that was my dislike. But yeah, also shout out, I forgot about likes, I was going to say the corners, that was good. Right, let's do player performances, let's do temperatures.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not, it's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
In the freezer this week, we've got a few names. Obviously, the low-hanging fruit is Cucurella, because he was sent off. Awful decision. Yeah. He's my freezer. Changed the game.
Yeah.
Cost us the game, basically, in terms of giving us a fighting chance. But Neto was called out from both of you. Do you want to take it away?
I'll let Brady, because he actually hates Neto.
I mean, you cannot. You
he's been waiting for this moment.
Just far too binary. In your hate and love, and I think he's okay. Anyway, Alex Goldberg, I like this phrase, the Jeffrey Dahmer of Chelsea attacks at the moment, which basically means he's just killing Chelsea attacks. Yeah, I don't know, he's fallen off a cliff. I know the team has as well. But his last goal, he scored at Cardiff actually, but it's just been a Dover cliffs, falling off the cliff, just nosedive. Before, he just looks awful. And I don't really like 3-4-3 of our squad makeup. You can't really have Estevao, Garnacho and Gittens on the bench, and the sporting directors won't allow that because they'll all just plummet in value. So 3-4-3 will be dead. But I don't want Neto playing left wing back anytime soon, ever. He was poor in this game. 1 out of 12 accurate crosses. That is impressive for the wrong reasons. He was poor. He put some okay corners in, but running down blind alleys, he's getting greedy. He did a terrible thing where Delap actually held it up really well when we had 10 men. I think it was just after half time. And we actually got a breakaway and he just skied it into, he just put it into the, you know, row H of whatever, of the lower tier. And then he didn't even like apologise. He's kind of like, oh yeah, whatever. He thinks he's like the, you know, elite now. You're not, you're okay. You're a good player, but you're not. These players, he looks like lazy in the team now. I'm not even seeing the off the ball work as much. He looks a bit leggy. So yeah, he's just got to be dropped. I don't think he will, but they should just drop him. I'll just drop him for a few games because you can think what you want about left wing. You can think about what you want about Gittens and Garnacho, and I agree they're not the best, but you know, no minute, like another 90 for Neto. I don't get it. Why is he getting these 90 when the performances are so poor? It's confusing.
Yeah, I do think it was strange that he was never subbed, considering how poor he was in the game. I was calling for it for a long time. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, shocking subs at the end of the game from Callum. The Pedro for Palmer subs, just bizarre. You've got Estevao right there, who can just play that left wing, left 10 role. Right wing, left 10, or right 10 role instead of Palmer. Yeah, just baffling change for me. And yeah, the fact Neto survived 90, I mean, he had a really, really bad game. And you can tell that in the numbers as well, you know, like Brady mentioned, 1 of 12 crosses. I mean, some of the frustrating crosses and moments in this game from him. Yeah, there's nothing else to add about Neto, really. Just shocking game. And I think if you give Estevao the chances in transition that Neto had yesterday, he would do much better with them. I think that's universally agreed upon.
The annoying thing is that Neto will probably start Arsenal, though, because he just seems to just have most managers' ears. And I just don't think he's all right, Neto. But, you know, when the goals and assists aren't there, he just looks real. I mean, every wing's like this. He just looks poor. He looks so poor at the moment. So,
yeah,
I just hope he improves.
Got to be dropped.
Yeah. It's just a form thing. Yeah.
Warming up. Brady, you had Hatto. Craig had Santos. Yeah. I had Delap.
Delap actually should have maybe mentioned Delap.
Yeah, I'll give Delap a little shout.
Yeah.
I thought Delap, poor finish when he went through. He should have gone around the goalie to the right. But overall, I thought he actually was fairly good in the game. He gave us quite a competitive edge, especially at 10 men. Definitely getting better at holding the ball up.
At times as well, you know.
Yeah, holding the ball up really well, turning people. That was impressive. I thought he turned people well. I think he will. You can see he'll get a few more goals as the season goes on, because he'll get more chances. But especially in the next sort of five, six games, I think there'll be loads of opportunities for him. He's just coming into a good moment. Obviously, he's got the manager's ear from when he was working with him before as well. So I think the future's looking a little bit brighter for Delap. And that was a good goal as well. Good turn and shot. Looked instinctive. So those are always the best ones for strikers to get, I think. So, yeah.
He kept holding his shoulder yesterday, Delap. I don't know if he's that. It feels like that's not really healed, I think. Like whatever contusion or whatever.
Always, always on his shoulder. Always cleaning his boots all the time. Always got his little habits. now, I thought the one thing I said about Delap, one thing about Delap is when you've got 10 men, he's great because he can hold it. He can make the ball stick. And to be fair to him, he's back to goal. He was very good. And up. Even when he was through and goal, I liked the idea of the finish. He just didn't quite execute it. And, you know, he got his goal. Yeah, I haven't been a big fan of him this year, but I hope he can kick on and get some goals. You know, Rossini is coming in. They've both got the first same name that you've managed him before. You know, it's on the up. And Joe Pedro's okay, but he's also not a world beater at nine, so we'll see.
Talk to me about Hatto. Brady.
Yeah, I thought it was, I mean, this is not saying much, but I thought it was his best performance in a Chelsea shirt. I think he came on, you're coming into a very difficult environment, Fulham away, he's basically got no minutes in his legs. He had 4 tackles, 4 out of 5 ground duels, 2 out of 2 aerial duels, 9 defensive contributions in just over an hour. He did well when he was running back to goal to not head it over Sanchez. Like, and he had a bit more bite in his game. I mean, he came as the Ajax captain. Mm. I know Ajax have been poor the last few years, but he came as Ajax captain. And you're thinking, right, he's got a bit of bite about him, a bit of something about him. And he looked quite timid. He had a bit, I don't know if it was because they were all annoyed about the sending off, but he had a bit of bite to him. And yeah, I think he's got to start Charlton. And hopefully you just look to start him some other games. Like, you're going to have to, I mean, Kukurea's been injured recently and he struggled in that moment. You're going to have to chop up his minutes at some point. And you can't play Gusto all the time. So Hatto's been brought to play. So he's got to get more minutes than he had did under Maresca, I think.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game, Hatto. He definitely looked a little bit more aggressive. He was frustrated at times, which is good, shows some emotion. Quality on the ball is very questionable for me with him.
I think he was a bit of a victim of, you know, that Carabao game where he was terrible. And I think the rotation stuff with Maresca started around then, where they're like, why didn't you rotate and why are you not playing Hatto more? I think he was a little bit of the Maresca thing where I'm not going to play him if he's going to tell me to play him. I think it was something to do with that, maybe. And so I hope he gets a bit more. I'm not saying to see a play there, but he was better in this game and I hope he can improve.
Yeah, he needs loads more games. The problem with a lot of these guys is they should be playing regularly to develop, but they're sat on the bench for us. That's just the way it is. Craig, anything on Hatto? Would you want to talk to us about Santos?
No, I'll talk about Santos. I think now's the time for him to really kick on. I think he's looking fit. I think he's looking like more comfortable on the ball. I think Rossini is almost certainly going to play with a double pivot that sits. I think we're ready to see Santos really kick on in the second half of the season. And not to mention, obviously, he played under him at Strasbourg last year and was one of the best players in Liga. So, I think warming up is very appropriate for Santos right now because he's about to step up, I think, and play a decent role for the team in the next sort of few months.
Brady, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. Have I been digging Santos out? Has he been on my?
He wanted him sold about 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
he said you'll never make it at Chelsea or something, didn't he?
No, I said we spoke. Craig, you like to edit quotes all the time. I don't know why you do that, but you kind of freelance for the Sun, I guess. It's probably sponsored by the Sun in a couple of weeks. I said that if he keeps performing like that, and people are going to be offering 40, 50 million in the summer, then yeah, you should go. But he has looked better recently. But I'm of the attitude that you don't really get 6 months, a year to settle in this team because if you do, then we're just going to keep sliding down. So
that's just transfers though in general, isn't it? Like a lot of transfers take 6 months to a year.
Not really.
It seems like they're very eager that if you don't play well, they will literally just chuck you out.
What about Ekotike though? He came in just off the bat, the grid.
Yeah, well, we can talk about Ekotike. We can talk about Kirkes, Frimpong, Verts.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, but like,
like yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course, but like they're getting panned. Like,
so,
you know,
some do take time to settle.
They're all getting dug out. And so, I know Lavia's out, but midfield is like so competitive for Chelsea. If you're going to be there and hang out, you've got to be good. Yeah. So. I was promised a sort of escapading box to box 8, and I haven't really seen that. But hopefully, he improves. Yeah,
I thought he was. By the way, I thought he was our best player in the before the red card.
Yeah, he's played well. He's been better.
Enzo's lucky he went in the freezer. Either he was diabolical.
Well, Enzo with 10 men. I actually think I would have subbed Enzo and not Santos. Yeah, Enzo with 10 men. He gets just exposed. The pitch is too open. You know, like. There's too much space.
I could have done someone should do a compilation of some of his forward passes in that game. They were absolutely awful.
I don't know why. Enzo, we do just seem to run him into the ground. The guy just seems to play football constantly. He never gets any minutes off,
does he? Yeah. Like,
he never gets a rest ever. Right? But... And he ends up just playing through bad form because he just keeps playing all the time. Yeah. But yeah, he should get his minutes chopped up more.
Yeah. Right. Boiling hot. I had the Chelsea fans. I thought they were in good voice despite the, well, not the songs, obviously, but they were in good voice generally. And it's difficult when no one win in nine or something. I mean, it is absolutely tragic stuff, considering how much money we've spent. So I think fair play to them for keep turning up and keep supporting the team, even though they're pretty annoyed with the owners. But I thought they'd done a good job singing to the end. And they got the team quite riled up in the second half, I thought. It was some decent effort from them, so. Right. Onwards and upwards, Charlton away into the FA Cup. How are we feeling about that? What are your score predictions?
Just excited to see Rosinha manage the team for the first time, see what he can do. Obviously, it'll be a fully rotated or a big rotation squad anyway, but that's almost exciting as well to see sort of how he's going to set the team up and what the some of these players are going to do.
No net out of 90 is exciting. quickly, my team would be Jorgensen, Gusto, Josh, Tosin, Hato, Santos, maybe Caicedo, Estevao, João Pedro, Garnacho and Delap. That'd be my team, personally.
Wow. There's a risk that Nathan Jones plays a weakened team as well, based on where Charlton are in the Championship. Mm. So, you know, it might actually be
a
very comfortable game for us.
It's good that Rossini has got two cup games, because Chelsea, we are just better in cups. And if the Arsenal game is a chance for... I know there's a protest at the Brentford game. I think I don't know what's going to happen now. But the Arsenal game... It is a chance to get, you know, the fans behind him, fiery atmosphere, under the lights, cup game, fiery. It's good. I think it's good he's getting two cup games before the Premier League game. I think that could set him in good stead, I think.
Yeah, he talks really well, I think.
Yeah.
And he clearly knows the game, but, you know, Lampard talked really well as well. I used to love listening to Lampard, but it's getting that message across to the players is always the hardest thing to do in football. But he's very enthusiastic, and I hope that comes across with the performances.
I mean, unless he literally does nothing and we finish like 10th or 11th in the league, he won't get sacked in the summer, because they'll look so pathetic if that happens.
Yeah, but you can't. The problem that they run into is you can't keep him, buy players, and then sack him 2 months into the season. That would be a complete nightmare.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, hopefully,
let's see his first game before we start talking about him being sacked.
By the way, Charlton's 8 o'clock on Saturday. That nearly caught me out, because I nearly booked the cinema for that time. So don't do the same.
What are you going to go watch at cinema?
I'm not going to. It's a girlfriend movie. I'm not going to reveal it. Terminator 4.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the review of that film when you're back next week.
All right, yeah. And warming up moments, yeah.
It might be better than the Chelsea game, we'll see.
Yeah, it might be.
It might be a full movie review instead of the Charlton review, depending on the result. Yeah. Right, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks so much, guys.
No worries.
I assume the prediction is that we'll go through.
Yeah.
We'll qualify.
We should
qualify.
Win.
Yes. Qualify for the fourth
round. It's the cup, isn't it? Chelsea, we're a cup team. Sorted.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll be back regardless of the result next week. But for more updates and all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.